Your thoughts are important, no doubt. When doing mind-body work, there can be a misconception that this work is just about thinking positively. While I wish that we could just sit and say positive words to ourselves all day and it would solve all our problems, the dear old subconscious mind doesn't work that way. In today's episode, I will talk about the benefits and downside of positive thinking and essentially why it can't resolve your chronic symptoms. Are you ready to stop the overwhelm and frustration and instead simplify your healing? I'm your host, Jenny Peterson, a chronic illness coach who helps those with chronic symptoms identify and release the unconscious patterns that are blocking their healing. That's right, I take out all the fluff, the supplements, the diets, the detoxes, and teach you how to heal just using your mind. I never said that it's easy, but it can be simple. If you're serious about getting back your life and health, it's time to put focus on the one area that will help you get there, your own mind. Now, a common question I hear from people is, so you're telling me I just need to think positively and then I will heal? Well, not really. Yes, we use the mind to heal, but it's not all about positive thinking. The mind is a very complex system, and most of your problems connected to your chronic symptoms are not connected to your conscious thinking. They are connected to the subconscious. Despite the fact that a majority of the work that is needed to heal is all in the subconscious, there are times and places for positive thinking. After years of working with clients, I have seen where it serves people to use positive thinking and where it doesn't. Let's first talk about where it can be helpful and where I encourage you to incorporate it, meaning positive thinking, when it comes to your healing. When people have chronic conditions, there are just so many patterns that need to be addressed. What all started out as a simple symptom has turned into years of frustration, trial and error, and a spider web of thoughts that now all feed off of each other. Years of trying to heal has led to not so healthy thinking patterns that really would benefit from shifting to being more positive. Here are some areas that I recommend positive thinking to help support your healing. When you're tempted to say, or you hear yourself say, I can't. Like, I can't go for a walk today. Instead of saying this, I want you to replace it with, maybe I can. Maybe it can be a short walk. 5 minutes is doable. Something that shifts it to be a little bit more positive than simply, I can't. Because most of the time we can, it's just we're putting too big of expectations on what we are expecting of ourselves to do, but we can do a little. And when you say things to yourself like, I can't heal, there's something wrong with me, I want you to kick this negative Nancy language to the curb and replace it with, maybe I can heal. Maybe my body isn't broken and it's working exactly how it's designed. This little spin on how we talk to ourselves about our body and our symptoms can make a really big difference. And when you focus on the future being scary, shift this to thinking about what you want in the future instead. I'll repeat that again. Shift your thinking to what you want in the future instead of what you don't want. Put a positive poly spin on it. I want you to write down and rehearse what you want your future to look like, not what you fear about it. Every time you rehearse what you fear in your future, you are literally telling your subconscious that is what you want. So instead, I want you to focus on what you do want. What does it look like? What does it feel like? And it's going to have to, you know, be a little positive poly in there, and you're going to maybe feel like this is uncomfortable to think this positive about my future. Your brain isn't used to it, but the more you do it and the more you attach those feelings to it, the more real it will feel. In the beginning, it's going to feel uncomfortable. That's part of the process. And when you focus on deadlines or expectations, these are the biggest joy killers when it comes to your healing. Forcing yourself to be better by a certain time, or having expectations of being in a certain place with your healing will only take you away from seeing all the progress that you have made. Shift your focus to the positive things that you are seeing in your healing. And I'm not just referring to symptoms, because everybody's wanting the symptoms to go away. I want you to take your focus off of the symptom and focus on how you see yourself responding different to situations, how you are talking differently to yourself. These are all signs of progress and honestly should be the main focus rather than looking at how your symptoms are changing, because your symptoms are going to be last. The mind work has to come first and the body will follow. I always like to say your body cannot heal until your mind is at peace. We got to work on the mind first. That's where you got to start focusing on and putting your attention and seeing the changes in that rather than your symptoms. Next up is how you start your day. So many people start their day in a negative Nancy way, scanning their body, predicting how the day will go, and basically programming their subconscious that it's going to be a shitty day. You are the only one directing your subconscious, so why don't you give it better directions? This is, again, where being positive will serve you. I have been telling myself for 4 years now, every single day, today is going to be a great day, the second my feet hit the floor. I encourage you to do the same and see the difference it makes in how you start your day. So these are the areas that I consider positive thinking the most beneficial when it comes to healing. Next up, we need to talk about toxic positivity, because there's the other side of it, of people are trying to be so positive and bring in this positive jive into their thinking that it really isn't helpful. It's actually kind of toxic. So what is toxic positivity? Well, basically, it's when you use positive thinking as a solution to all things, or you avoid feeling quote-unquote negative emotions, or you could even be expecting others to be positive around you. So in this case, you could be avoiding real harm because of this positive filter, or you could also be causing harm to others. So for example, if a person treats you poorly and you put a positive spin on it, and basically act as if it's okay, and you let them continue to treat you that way, that's putting yourself in harm's way, meaning you're not setting boundaries around what you allow and what you don't allow for others to treat you. And so this is really important that we take away this positive spin to everything. It's just not realistic to put it to everything. You could also, you know, be putting a smile on your face when you really are feeling sad or hurt, which would be suppressing your emotions, which is also harmful to you. In a relationship, toxic positivity could also destroy communication and the ability to solve relationship problems as well. Forcing someone to express only positive emotions can also stifle their ability to communicate and make them feel bad about themselves for having negative thoughts. You know, have you ever been around a person, I'm not going to talk to you unless you're positive? Well, you know, there is something to be said about who you surround yourself with, and you don't want to be around a lot of Debbie Downers or people that are negative Nancys. But at the same time, you can't expect everyone to be speaking positively all the time either. Honestly, a majority of people don't even know how to go in a direction of speaking differently, because negatively speaking is a normal part of our way of functioning as humans. It's how our brains work. And it's the easiest thing for us to talk about versus going in a different direction. So, you know, trying to force other people to have conversations about being positive is not going to be easy. I encourage you to only be working on yourself, not worrying about controlling what other people are doing. So you can avoid toxic positivity by recognizing negative emotions as being normal and an important part of the human experience. We're not avoiding emotions. That is something you want to avoid doing, okay? You want to still experience emotions. What you don't want to happen when we refer to quote-unquote negative emotions is to hold on to those emotions for a long period of time. We can experience them. We can recognize that we are feeling them, but ultimately holding on to an emotion for a long period of time is what's going to have a negative effect on our mind and body. So experience it. And then what I recommend is getting out a piece of paper, writing out what's on your mind, and then ultimately seeing how you're seeing the situation. What is your perception of the situation? Because you cannot have an emotion without there being a perception there first, which comes in connection with your thoughts. So when you have this perception of the event, that's going to lead to your thoughts, behavior, and your actions. So if you want your feelings to change or let go of negative emotions, we got to look at what is the situation, what is the meaning you're giving it, and most likely when you shift that meaning, the emotions will change as well. So we can recognize negative emotions, that they are normal and they are important, but if we are hanging on to them for too long, we can use the tools of shifting perception that will help us let go of those emotions. The second thing you want to do to avoid toxic positivity is to identify and name emotions rather than try to avoid them. Similar to the last one, but the last one was more about recognizing that negative emotions are part of being a human. And then the second one is identifying and naming them rather than trying to avoid them. We don't want to avoid them. We want to say, yes, this is what I'm feeling. rather than try to avoid. And then the third is learning how to process negative emotions in a healthy way. I kind of talked about that in that first one where I talked about how to shift your perceptions. Learning how to process negative emotions in a healthy way is about recognizing that you have it. Number one, that there's a negative emotion there. But number two, it is about how am I learning to process this in a healthy way rather than in a negative way. And that can all come back to your perception. So that's an important step to actually all healing processes is perception change. If you want to shift your emotions and your thoughts, go back to your perception. If you want to resolve conflicts that are connected to your symptoms, go back to what your perception was. It all starts with perception. So that's how you want to avoid toxic positivity, is by recognizing that it is okay to have these negative thoughts or negative emotions, but it's part of the human experience. But what are we going to do with them? How are we going to avoid hanging on to them for long periods of time? And now let's talk about why this work isn't all about being positive and what it really means to do the mind work. I think this is best explained using symptoms as examples. So we're going to use an example of someone that has anxiety, IBS, and UTIs. According to GNM, anxiety is about not feeling safe, feeling powerless and fearful. IBS is that you can't digest something that happened to you, and UTIs are back to boundaries. So if you were to resolve these symptoms using positive thinking, it would never work because of two reasons. Number one, symptoms are caused by perceptions of past events. And number two, the subconscious needs to be on board with any new perceptions that you have, because if the subconscious and conscious are not in alignment, the subconscious always wins. So let's look at anxiety. Anxiety is connected to not feeling safe, not just physically, but also emotionally. And you think, well, then I'll just tell myself that I'm safe instead. I will repeat it over and over, so my mind starts to believe something else. So, you know, some people say, I just keep telling myself, I am safe, I am safe. But your subconscious says, hold up, what you are saying is not true. We have lots of proof that you are not safe since you were born. And by saying this over and over, we just don't buy it. The evidence of not feeling safe is stacked way too high for us to get on board with what you were saying. To truly resolve anxiety, a person needs to look at how this has become a coping mechanism from childhood and how they can build trust and safety within themselves in order to no longer feel unsafe. That is going to require working on past events, triggers, core beliefs, and daily action to shift those old subconscious patterns. This is how you rewire the subconscious. Positive thinking will never do any of this. And in fact, if you're going to sit and tell yourself, because you have anxiety, I am safe, I am safe, it's only going to cause more resistance, because the subconscious isn't going to believe it, because there's plenty of proof to support that you saying that on a conscious level isn't true. Now let's take a look at IBS. IBS is connected to a situation that was indigestible to you. So you may say, well, you know, I'm over that situation. It doesn't bother me anymore. And I'm just going to tell myself that I am fine, smile every day when I wake up, and choose to be happy rather than angry when something happens to me. Now, maybe some of that is going to be helpful, but it's not going to resolve a conflict. It doesn't hurt to smile every day when you wake up, and it doesn't hurt to choose to have a different response in life when something happens to you. But those two things, being the positive poly, are not going to resolve underlying chronic conditions or the underlying conflict underneath the chronic conditions. Here again, there's nothing about addressing past events, triggers, or patterns of how this person adapts to life that's been addressed with this positive poly plan. The subconscious is still hanging on to the memory connected to the symptom because the perception of the event hasn't changed. And it still thinks that that situation is a threat. Otherwise, the person would be healing or that symptom would be going away. So this person will need to shift perception around the situation that started this, make connections to the core beliefs driving it, and make connections to how this way of responding to life has been wired into their subconscious so they can prevent having it show up again in the future. Again, positive thinking will not do this. Positive thinking is what I say is, you know, surface level work. It's got its benefits for those certain things that I mentioned, but it is not deep level work. It's not going into changing those old subconscious patterns. Lastly, let's take a look at if a person had UTIs. In GNM, UTIs are connected to a boundary issue. Something was in your space that you didn't like. Often for women, this boundary issue is back to intimacy, but it also can be back to other things like a coworker in your space, a parent telling you what to do, a neighbor on your property, etc. Here again, there's no positive thinking that is going to resolve this symptom. You have to do the work that is needed to establish your territory. Most of the time, this means having to speak up, take action, etc. to take back your territory. And this sounds easier said than done, because when it comes to setting boundaries, the subconscious is again going to step in. This is a big area when we work with our clients. It might seem like boundaries have nothing to do with your healing, but honestly, they have a lot to do with your healing. They are a key piece to your healing. And a lot of people are not even aware of what boundaries are. On top of, if they do know what they are, putting them into place is something that's uncomfortable. And if there is proof that speaking up or establishing a boundary of any type comes with rejection or any type of scary consequence, then setting boundaries will not be very easy, especially in the beginning, if you don't have any guidance to do that. Because maybe when you were a kid, speaking up for yourself ended up with criticism, or you were told that your voice didn't matter. This will be enough proof that speaking up to set this boundary, which is required for you to work on your UTIs, will come with discomfort. And the subconscious will say, setting those boundaries is risky. It's risky to our survival. And I don't know, I'm just not willing to do that right now. This is where we end up keeping our chronic conditions, because the choices that we need to make or the actions that we need to make in order to resolve them bring up old, uncomfortable subconscious patterns. This is why all the work matters, not just the memory or perception shift work. Oftentimes, we can't shift the perception of a memory or a situation that happened when there's proof in the subconscious that making those changes are risky to our survival. And a risk to our survival can be rejection, abandonment, judgment, for example. You have to remember that your brain is primal and its focus is always survival. And if you look at rejection, judgment, or abandonment, what does that do? That takes you out of the pack, right? It puts you out on your own. It puts you in a place of possibility of, you know, being susceptible to being attacked. You know, this is how our brain thinks. We don't want to leave the pack. We don't want to be rejected because our survival is at risk. So that's how our brain thinks. And it doesn't have to be that we're being chased by a tiger and that's when our survival brain kicks in. It's kicking in when our phones ring. And the other person on the other line is somebody that you're scared to talk to. That's all the same thing according to the brain. So positive thinking can also cause resistance within the subconscious. I already gave you some examples of this, but I really want to make sure that you understand how this works. Let's say, for instance, you say to yourself daily, I am lovable and worthy of being loved. While this sounds great and is a good thing to tell yourself, if your subconscious has enough proof that you are not lovable or worthy of love from past experiences, there will be resistance. It's going to say, sorry, I just don't believe you. Our proof, we have this whole file, this really thick file of proof here. And that proof is enough to win because that, again, proof is part of our survival. It's what's keeping us alive. And because that proof in the subconscious is that you were not lovable in the past was a survival pattern, this is going to be protected. The subconscious is going to protect that and say, I don't know, believing that is just something that is risky. And no matter if you say that or not, it just doesn't feel right because we've got all this stuff stacked up to prove that that's not true. And it held on to those past experiences to flag you in the future. So until you make the changes in your subconscious, no matter what you say consciously, the subconscious will win. The conscious and subconscious need to be on the same page. So as you can hear, this work isn't about positive thinking, and it requires shifting perceptions, identifying old subconscious patterns, core beliefs, and rewiring new healthy ways of coping. When this rewiring process is done, the body no longer is getting messages that feel like a threat. It can finally calm down and complete the healing process. And speaking of shifting perceptions, I use that term a lot, and you might be wondering, what does that mean? And does it just mean that I need to shift a perception about a situation? Meaning, do I need to have it be something positive instead of the way that I'm looking at it negatively? Well, in some cases, a situation as being a positive learning experience is helpful. Yes, that's helpful, but it doesn't go quite deep enough. We want to go deeper with the work than that. What I prefer to do instead is look at all the limitations that you and the others involved had in that situation that prevented things from turning out a different way. And then create a plan moving forward of how you can respond to similar situations in a healthier way in the future. In addition, there's always going to be a core belief or several that is driving your perceptions, and that needs to be found as well and shifted within that memory. So this type of perception shift will create biological changes on a deeper level, way more than just turning a situation into a positive learning experience. When you're able to see the limitations of yourself and all of those that were involved and realize that nothing else could have turned out differently because of those limitations, and now see that moving forward, what kind of skills you need to have or learn in order to prevent that from happening again, the subconscious goes, oh, I'm now safe. That I do feel a lot better now. I'm not feeling like my survival's at risk, because I know that I've got a different response in the future that I can utilize, and that, you know, those limitations that I used to have or those other people, I now see those differently. And there's no longer this sense of survival that is necessary from that situation. That perception shift changes things biologically. Again, biological changes happen with just perception. That's how it all starts. So healing isn't all about positive thinking. And yes, your thoughts are important, but most of all, healing is about stepping into your authentic self. That may involve, and most of the time does, not always being so positive and happy with everyone. It may involve speaking up, setting boundaries, learning to stand up for yourself, stop people pleasing, not giving a shit what people think about you, ending relationships that are not helpful for you, etc. This is really what healing is about more than anything. So use positive thinking where it serves you most, in the areas I mentioned at the beginning. Those are the areas that you will benefit from being in that mindset. But don't become a positive Polly where all you do is respond to everything with positivity. There are areas that this thinking is useful and where it's not, as I mentioned. It's only going to take you so far, and it actually could go in the other direction of being harmful. So positive thinking will not solve subconscious patterns that are showing up in your body as symptoms and as problems in your life. You have to do much deeper work than that. Well, I wish it was that easy. It isn't. And on some level, it's a good thing that it isn't that easy. Otherwise, we wouldn't learn all that we need to learn to heal. The easy work never creates lasting change anyway. Speaking of which, are you sick of protocols that only give short-term results? Are you winging your healing, throwing darts blindly, hoping the next protocol will work? This is wasting your time, money, and energy. You are unique. Your symptoms are connected to very specific patterns within your subconscious. And without a plan unique to you, you will continue struggling and miss out on the life you deserve to be living. To help you get started in your long-lasting healing journey, we would love to provide you with the healing plan that is unique to you. To get your healing plan, click on the Get My Healing Plan in the show notes. The world needs to know more about the powerful subconscious mind. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and hit the subscribe button so you can be notified when new episodes are available. You can also connect with me and continue learning by following me on Facebook at Mind Body Rewire and on IG at The Mind Body Rewire. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.